Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is driving another great SMC vehicle this week.
This week we're featuring the Hyundai Veloster, which is a three-door hatchback, six-speed, also available in turbo, has a beautiful sunroof, moonroof going across the top, and very fun to drive with gas mileage in the 30s. As a matter of fact, that's just around town. You get even higher on the highway. But what makes it fun to drive is that six-speed, because you're going right through the gears. Six-speed kicks you into overdrive. You hit the cruise on the highway, and you just sit back, relax, and enjoy the way the car just kind of molds right around you. Beautiful vehicle. They have a couple of them to choose from, actually several of them to choose from, on the lot in the North 4th Street Plaza in Sunbury. Check out the deals right now, starting in the 20s for the Hyundai Veloster from Sunbury Motors and the Sunbury Motors Hyundai dealership, North 4th Street, Sunbury. Again, right now with prices right around the $20,000 mark for a wonderful vehicle, and still have some room in the back for the, you know, two or three other people to get in.
That's great. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Kevin will turn that car in tomorrow in a vehicle exchange and ask them about the vehicle that Kevin drove. You can check it out on Twitter and also on Kevin's Facebook page as well to see the outstanding vehicle he's driving this week. And also, the pricing is outstanding. Great deals right now, and you'll be dealing with the great people at Sunbury Motors. Tomorrow, Pete Jensen, NHL.com. Adam Amin from ESPN, Dick Girardi, color analyst on the Penn State Sports Network, Philadelphia Daily News, and Wayne Larrivee, the play-by-play voice of the Green Bay Packers, all on tomorrow's show. So that's coming up tomorrow. Today,
is it just me, or is it since Deflategate has kind of, and I hate that term, but I know everybody's using it, now that the football deflating issue has kind of gone away, there really hasn't been much discussed about the Super Bowl this week.
Well, Marshawn Lynch changed all that. Okay, the football inflation issue went by the boards because Marshawn Lynch wouldn't talk. And when, on Tuesday, he changed everything by coming out and not talking. And for some odd reason, when you have 52 other options plus a coaching staff, so now we're up to 60 options, a guy not talking has become the primary story of the week.
I mean, the only other story I even heard about was a discussion of Richard Sherman and his girlfriend, who is actually waiting. They're actually going to be having their first child sometime in early February. And his comment that he thinks he's going to be a disciplined young man and stay in there until after the game. He said he's going to do his father his first favor and stay in there another week or two.
There you go.
Boy, you talk about first, you talk about a tough choice, though, man.
Well, you have to talk it over with your wife.
Well, I know, but I mean, I'm thinking about it.
It's a decision that they privately make together, and in all likelihood, he already knows, what the what the decision is between the two of them. Just like, what, the 1999 U.S. Open. Phil Mickelson and his wife, Amy, talked it over, and they made the decision together that the second that she went into labor, he was leaving, even if he was on the 18th hole. Okay.
I mean,
well, it turned out that she did not go into labor until the day after Payne Stewart beat him on the 18th hole with that remarkable putt at Pinehurst. So he was there. But, I mean, it's a decision that's made by the two of them, and then you make sure that the club knows exactly what's going on, that Pete Carroll knows exactly what's going on. And you just go from there. I mean, so it's done among them. But, you know, the bigger issue is, you know, his elbow, you know, going after him. Is it a perceived weakness? I think Earl Thomas being hurt with his shoulder is more of a thing that you can watch the Patriots attack. The Seahawks are a low-risk defense, and I mean this in that way. They play cover three. Their entire point is not to get beat deep. Now, they'll lure you into trying to throw deep. Cover three is interesting. I always love when I watch people throw deep against cover three. That's what they want you to do. And I always laugh every time I see it. You're like, oh, they're playing cover three. Why are you throwing deep into that? That's what they want you to do. It's okay to take a shot once in a while because you're trying to lose. Because sometimes you take a shot to set up another shot. But when you have 2 weeks between games, there are a lot of shows that do a lot of football analysis as to what they do and they don't do. There's a lot of that. But again, of the 5,500 media credentials handed out, there are only 200 to 250 really serious football people covering it. You look at Marshawn Lynch, for example. You know, one of the keys to doing any interview, and you, Kevin, you have a great relationship with Tim Four. You have a great relationship with the football coach. And one of the reasons that you do, and that when you interview them, you probably get a little bit more out of them than maybe some other people do, is that there's trust. They trust where you're going with it. They trust, you know, what you're talking to them about. They trust the fact that you're not questioning them, you're asking them questions, and you're giving them the space to answer them.
Your whole goal is to make the program look good, not to make the program look bad. Yeah, you're exactly right.
Oh, I mean, no, but more than that, it's not, even when there's something bad that happens, you're asking questions and you give them the opportunity to answer it the way they wish.
Right, right. It's not in a way to try and trap them.
Well, he gets into a situation like that, looks around. Who does he trust? Now, of course, he does the same thing in Seattle. But, you know, even in those games, you're not just dealing with the Seattle beat writers who are there every day. And, you know, trust is important for certain subjects when they deal with them. Other people don't care. Richard Sherman doesn't care. Russell Wilson doesn't care. Brady doesn't care. LeGarrette Blount doesn't care. If he doesn't like it, he'll just leave. Oh, no, he's already done that this year. And it's just, I mean, that's, I think it's a big part of it. And I think Lynch looks around, he doesn't trust him. It's okay. But he stole the show this week. It's a football game. And, you know, you can analyze it and analyze it and analyze it. But for 2 weeks, look, the Super Bowl is where it is for one reason and one reason only. Okay? It's on February 1st because it's sweeps month. That's why you have 2 weeks between the championship game and the Super Bowl. They want to start the season, Labor Day week. And they want the season, the Super Bowl, needs to be in February because the networks need to have it in the February sweeps. Because November, February, and May are the three critical months in television where you set the ad rates for the year. Thus, having the single highest rated program of the year on your network is absolutely critical. For example, why are the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Finals in June? As people complain about having ice hockey in June. And the reason is simple. The networks do not want to carry the NBA or the Stanley Cup Finals in the month of May. That's a sweeps month. if you notice in the month of May, that's where you have your cliffhangers. NCIS, SVU, whatever show you happen to like and enjoy, which is trying to set it up so that you'll come back and pick up the series again in September. That's what May's all about. May's all about the cliffhangers. May's all about the specials. November's about specials and best in programming. Look at your local TV news. Have you noticed suddenly out of nowhere in November, February, and May, they do in the newscast more special reports, in-depth series? Why? Because November, February, and May happen to be sweeps months. You notice in April and March they don't do those. Well, that's what this is about. The Super Bowl, there's a two-week lag between the AFC and NFC championship games because they can't extend the season beyond where they are now at the moment because they want to get that Labor Day weekend thing going. They get everybody a week off, and if they do it in a natural form, it would have been played last week out of the sweeps. Well, that's not helping your broadcast partners at all. So that's why it is in February. That's why you have 2 weeks in between the championship games and now. You hate this discussion, don't you?
No, this discussion's fine.
No, well, it's not prop bets.
It's not exciting, but I mean, it's fine.
Well, I know it's not exciting as, you know, how long the national anthem is. We can get back to what you were talking about.
Well, I'm just saying it's been a very, very quiet week.
It has not been a quiet week. It's been anything but. It's been the opposite.
But I think if you take Lynch out of the picture.
You can't. Lynch is the picture.
But we haven't been but nobody's been talking about the matchup. Nobody's been talking about the game. Nobody's been talking about versus player.
Kevin, when do they do that? They don't. Again, there are 200 to 250 journalists there, broadcast or print, that are serious about this thing. The other 5,250 are not.
Now, some of them are from entertainment television.
Right, and some of them are just like, they cover football, but they don't know it. You know, you're not going to get anything from these people. Come on.
That's true. There's a lot of media there that isn't really in the NFL sports realm.
There are even some that cover it all the time that aren't. A guy like Ed Bouchette goes, Ed knows it like the back of his hand. Peter King knows it like the back of his hand. And in some ways, they get ripped off by this entire thing because they don't have the access that they normally would get that would help us get a better feel for the game. I was there last year at Super Bowl Media Day. It is remarkable what a sideshow it is. Remarkable. And, same thing with the subsequent press conference. You're saying no news. He's dominated the entire week by doing nothing. And this is where we come in with the legitimate 150 to 250 number of like serious journalists and the whole thing. They get it. They're like, we'll go someplace else. It's the other people that are like, okay, I got to ram their camera in there. We got to get the camera in there. Gandhi's going to speak. Gandhi's about to tell you to get lost. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no bones in to neighborhood. Who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia. Sunbury Motors Kia.
Make tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,389. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty. Come see the Snowbusters at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf or at sunburymotors.com. SMC, selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. Can't have bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
So do you need prop bets to keep you interested in the game?
I did last year.
Well, that's true. It was a 43-8 game last year.
I haven't, but I did last year.
That I understand that part. I mean, that makes complete sense. But, for example, listening to you.
Well, the prop bets are entertaining in the early part of the game.
That opening segment, you were bets, you know, you were talking fast and your voice was high.
I was talking fast and my voice was high. That's good.
Well, that's when you get excited, that's what you do.
Well, you know, I'm going to be watching the game with probably a total of six people, four of which are not what I would say, you know, fans of football because their team's not in it.
And I think that's fine. That's fine. Well, your team's not in it either, as has been well established.
My kid's only worry is what's the over-under on how many times I hit the replay button to show him a block.
You're kidding.
He said five, by the way. I said if I were five, I'd take the over, pal. Daniel, so watch his block. Watch his block.
So you don't watch the game live?
No, I'll catch up and watch it live. That's the beauty of the DVR.
But they already show you every angle of it.
Well, no, if it's a specific block that I wanted that I thought was impressive. They don't always show that. And his attention span is like a gnat, so you know, you have to make sure he's focused on watching it to get the gist of it.
Yeah. As I do this show more and more, I'm getting the same way. Okay. And other people in the room will not be as into the game.
No. I mean, it'll be...
And I totally understand. Look, not everybody's the same way about
it. It's
this.
An event.
I think that's one of the... You mentioned one of the prop bets was, will the audience be more than 113 million? It absolutely will be. It'll probably be 115, 116 million.
Yeah,
part of the reason is it's not supposed to snow in the Northeast.
Well, that's true. We are looking for a little bit of snow.
And if it snows, people are going to stay in. What's on? All right, I'm going to watch that game. I'll also watch the Super Bowl. Let's see what's on. And I think this is a game that has a chance to go into the fourth quarter and be interesting because it's going to be tight. So I think it will have the ability to keep people in there and watching it. You also have the top announce group doing it, and that makes a big difference. So, I think it was the number 113, because I think the record last year was 112. I think they'll crack 115 million total viewership. And that'll be the combination of that good game, time of the day. But I also think that, you know, part of it is the Midwest and the Northeast are going to be getting snow. I mean, for example, I know I'm going to Illinois, and they're supposed to get 5 to 7 inches of snow in Illinois. So you got people in Chicago and... You know, Milwaukee and Minneapolis and so forth in that area. Boom. I mean, talking about 7 inches of snow there going into Sunday, there's going to be no real wish to go out and travel on a Sunday night after a storm. And that same storm is supposed to clip through and get itself into the Northeast. And we might see snow on Sunday, Monday. And I think that's going to play a factor in the number of people watching the game.
And if you're counting down, we're 3 days to the Super Bowl and 554 days to the lighting of the torch in Rio.
The what?
The lighting of the torch in Rio is 554 days away. They just announced today that they will start with the ceremonial lighting of the Rio 2016 torch in Olympia, Greece, May 2016. There will be 10,000 torchbearers traversing 12,000 miles across Brazil for right around 100 days. 3 days to the Super Bowl, 554 days to the Olympics. The countdowns are on.
30 seconds to the news at the bottom of the hour. And it couldn't happen fast enough for some people after listening to that.
We cover all the sports on this show. Thanks to me.
Dick Girardi tomorrow. Wayne Larrabee, the voice of the Green Bay Packers. Adam Amin, ESPN. Pete Jensen, NHL.com. All on tomorrow's show. Thus, we have 22 hours and 45 minutes before that starts.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. I was just listening to Mark Lawrence's promo. Wow. He was talking about the media coverage of the storm, and it's a lot like the media coverage of the Super Bowl. Look, the Super Bowl has a wide-ranging audience. You don't get 115 million people to watch something unless there's enough diversity in it of interest to get 115 million people to lock in on it. You know, Super Bowl parties around it, the timing of the year, perfect, first weekend in February. The weather's cold, but people get together. It's a little bit more than a month after New Year's. You have the commercials that people love. By the way, dogs, very, very important in this year's Super Bowl commercials. I mean, I didn't know there were that many animal actors out there, but geez, there's lots of dogs being used in this year's Super Bowl commercials.
I saw the Budweiser one. That's a good one. A lot of people are going to love that one.
Yeah. And the prop bets that Kevin talked about that people have fun with. I mean, it's just a fun thing. And you talk about the media coverage of it. Okay, they're out there and they're sending stuff back about it on a wide variety of interests. I understand that. And he said the media coverage of the storm. I always love the one where the dude from the weather. The weather forecaster or the dude from the Weather Channel is out there all by themselves on a beach and nothing happens. That's terrific. Okay, here we go. Make salad out of that. I'm here in New York. It really wasn't that bad. I'm here in New Jersey. It wasn't that bad. I mean, Dick Girardi had an inch of snow. He lives outside of Philadelphia. An inch. One. Who knows? Now, my cousin lives in, my cousins live in eastern Massachusetts. They got 30 plus inches, 34 and a half. All right, that's bad. Well, my brother was around 20. But the areas where they were just, the Jersey Coast, Philadelphia, New York City. No, not really. Well, it shifted on us. Yeah, cry me a river. Hello. It's like, okay, look, just I got it. What, do you work for Costco? You have the shelves empty. I got it. I'm an investor in Costco. It's gonna be a bad storm. Everybody go buy stuff. Oh,
you know, you were talking about events and television coverage of it in February, And that's why NASCAR has basically their Super Bowl in February, because they can be the spotlight of starting their season. And they did something, I don't think they did it last year, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but they moved the Budweiser duels, the 150-mile races, the qualifiers, to Thursday night instead of during the day. Has it been that way for a couple of years?
No.
I don't think so. I thought this...
Nobody cares.
I beg to differ with you on that one. I think there's...
I beg to differ. The Budweiser duels are the equivalent of watching preseason football.
But it sets the schedule for... It sets the lineup, and there,
Repeating once again, it's the equivalent of watching preseason football.
I wouldn't use that. It's like watching... a prelim race, maybe, or a nationwide race, or whatever that series is called this year.
Excuse me. Okay, what's the difference? Does it count?
Yes.
No.
There are points that will be given for that race.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Holy cow!
And it's racing. No. It's the opener. I mean, it doesn't matter.
Okay. Just keep taking your delusional pills.
Now, see, this is one where you're not going to convince me that I'm wrong on this one. I think this is a smart thing to do, is put it at 7 o'clock at night and run it in basically prime time. Run these races in prime time. It's been run during the day for years, you know, and nobody can watch it.
They could maybe get 115 million viewers.
There is a ton of money in running NASCAR on television. It is not as much as it the viewership is not as high as it was, but it has not gone down that much.
That's where you're wrong. It has gone down actually like a rock, and this is something that's been very
for the 500
phenomenon. No, the overall NASCAR numbers have dropped. Overall NASCAR numbers have dropped like a rock. They thought it was going to be the next big thing. It's going to get into double digits. It's gone south. I mean, it's like doing a basketball game. What's going to be, you have a 10-point lead. Where are you going to go? To 20? You're going to go to 5. Well, NASCAR's done that. Instead of going to 20, they went to 5.
But the 500 has been very successful, though. I mean, maybe the ratings all season have been down, but the 500 has been very successful. As a matter of fact, last year, I think it was the most watched Daytona 500 ever. That was a 9.9. No, it's not Super Bowl numbers. I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah. Again, it's falling off.
Now, I know the rain delays kind of hurt.
Yeah, I hate when that happens.
That one definitely causes a problem. Yeah, I might have said last year. I think it was a 2013 that was almost a 10 share for the Daytona 500, and then last year they had the rain delay, so there was a little bit of an issue there. But I think it's a smart move to go tonight with that qualifier race.
Oh, I think it's a smart move to go with it, but I mean, anything you can run at night, do it, because that's when the viewership's going to be. But it's not, it'll make a difference, but not, it's that 9 you're getting for that is going to be a 0.6 for that.
Well, think about how many of these races have now gone to night races. How many of these tracks have put in lights?
Smart. It's good for the fans. It's good for TV. It's good for everybody. It's good all the way around that they do that. I mean, I think that's the right way. That's why I always laugh when I hear people say they should be playing World Series games during the day. Okay, get your head out of the sand. Okay, I know you're longing for a day gone by. That day's gone. Okay, the kids can't watch a game that's at 3 in the afternoon. What are you going to do? Hey, we're going to let all the kids out of school so they can watch day baseball. No, that's not going to happen.
Now think about it.
I mean, I hear stuff like that. I say to myself, get a grip on reality. That's not how it works. That's why them moving this thing to night. But again, they've got to get like a 0.8, 0.9 rating. And, you know, it's that's fine. It would be for the 0.8, 0.9 they're going to watch. That's awesome and incredible. I mean, I have no interest in watching it. I'll watch the some of the 500, but.
No, I'll watch I'll watch the qualifier race.
Yes, we know.
By the way, can you guess why the 2013 500 was so highly watched? I had forgotten about this until I saw it today when I saw that discussion about the 500 or the qualifier being at night. Who was on the pole in 2013?
Danica Patrick.
You go.
Yeah. There's much to do about nothing there. I mean, I picked up USA Today, and they had a big story in the back page about her in the upcoming season. I'm like, look, get yourself into the top 10. Like, I respect. Look, she's doing has skills on a track behind a wheel that I absolutely do not have. But at the same time, there are people right now that either have better equipment around them or are just better drivers than she is. I mean, I appreciate the fact that she draws people to the TV set. I appreciate that very much. But she's got to, you know, if she wants to keep her spot in there, she's going to have to start getting some top 10s here, or at least top 15s. And I'm not setting the bar exponentially high here. If you're in the field, you've got to get yourself some top 15s. You got to have your name on the ribbon at the beginning of it, throughout the day, to really kind of get yourself into the thick of what's going on. And I'm not saying win. If she won, it would be tremendous. I mean, yeah, but I mean, she consistently is between 20 and 35 all the time. I mean, in that field, which is obviously a top flight field, so you're talking about the best of the best out there. She's and also ran in the group of the elite. And I don't think that's an unfair statement.
In 36 races last year, that was the 14 schedule. She had three top 10s. Her average start was 22nd. Her average finish was 23rd. However, she did complete 97 of the laps for all 36 starts and did lead 15 laps.
Yeah, but you got to start doing more. I mean, you got to start doing more. She's not with a lousy team.
Stuart Haas has had some success.
She's got to start doing more with it.
Well, and you know what? And this is digging into NASCAR a little bit, but I think a lot of NASCAR is trying to partner up with people. And partner up with other drivers in certain situations to draft. One of the things that I don't like about NASCAR is the fact that, you know, that you have to have a drafting partner for a lot of these super speedways. So it's not as much about the car and the driver as much as it is about the car, the driver, and who you partner up with. I think that's part of her problem too. I don't think she has a lot of friends on the track.
It doesn't matter. You know, part of her problem is right now other people are better at it than she is.
Well, that's I'm sorry
to actually like open the door. There are other people that are better at it than she is. She actually might be better in the IndyCar thing because I think she's a better driver in open wheels than she is in this.
Well, see, again, you're not relying on anybody else there, though, to draft with you on these super speedways.
See, IndyCar is a lone wolf, no team feel kind of sport. You're just out for yourself.
No, I wouldn't go that far.
I was a joke.
I figured you were, but I wanted. I'm like, you cannot be serious about that.
I just want to see how you'd react. You know.
But I think that is a lot of the issue in the IndyCar series, for instance, Kevin, where she didn't need anybody to draft with.
No, a lot of the issue is this. Okay, you can draft off anybody. Okay, a lot of the issue is, let's let the elephant out of here. Other people are better at it than she is.
No, I don't disagree with you there.
I mean, now, she's a lot better than a lot of other people. That's why she gets into it. But I'm talking now in that elite 42 group, right? There are 25 other drivers that are better at it than she is.
Well, all due respect to the talent she does have, I mean, I would have liked to have seen her have a little bit more success in the division she was in before she hopped to another one.
And with all due respect, it's Super Bowl week, and I think we're on the wrong topic. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
With no bones in to your neighborhood, who are you going to call?
Snowbusters!
And we've got the Snowbusters right here at Sunbury Motors Kia. I want to see you.
Tracks in an all-wheel drive 2015 Sportage LX starting at $22,399. And we have a great inventory to choose from. Or how about our blizzard-busting 2015 all-wheel drive Sereno starting at $24,983 with 0% APR financing for up to 60 months. And we've got 27 to choose from. Remember, all new Kias come with a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited powertrain warranty.
Come see the Snowbusters
at Sunbury Motors Kia on the Strip at Hummel's Wharf
or at sunburymotors.com.
SMC. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers for 100 years.
Tax and tags extra. All applicable Kia customer rebates apply. CAMF bonus cash and financing to well-qualified customers.
National 11 10th day for college football is next Wednesday, and I know a lot of people, and I've talked about the star system, and I don't get too enamored with the star system at all. I never have, as people know. I mean, I did something yesterday where I talked about where they are right now with four stars and three stars and so forth. But, I mean, it's all about the transition and how you make the transition. And there's a reason I don't get too enamored with it, because it's all about what you do once you go up against comparable talent. Try this on for size. Guess what the star number is, the average star number of the Patriots and the Seahawks. With their average,
what their average was when they went into college.
Yep.
I would say four.
2.3. 2.3. How about that? The average star number, 2.3.
I can't believe somebody actually made that statistic and researched it.
Well, think about it.
We are in Super Bowl week then.
Yeah, but no, but think about it, though. Well, but I think this is actually, this is a interesting perspective.
But I know what you're saying about it, yeah.
It's a little bit different than this, than some of the dumb stuff we were talking about earlier. This is actually a perspective piece. In other words, how many stars do you think Tom Brady was coming out of California?
Three.
Two-star quarterback. Two-star quarterback. That's it. He went to Michigan. People at Michigan did not want him starting. It was a big, big controversy when he started games at Michigan for Lloyd Carr. They didn't want him starting. He was a sixth-round draft choice. You got to remember a lot of special teams guys and so forth that are on this thing. I mean, Julian Edelman. What do you think Julian Edelman's star was? Went to Kent State as a quarterback. What do you think his star rating was?
1.5.
No, a guy like, I mean, a guy like Dante Hightower. I mean, let's face it. I mean, he was, you know, I'm sure Gronkowski was as well. But there are a lot of guys in this thing that are playing. What do you think Bobby Wagner's star number was? Cam Chancellor. I mean, Richard Sherman, I think a 3-star when he went to Stanford, and he can't stand Jim Harbaugh. Because he and Harbaugh had a huge falling out because of what he thought of his talent versus what Harbaugh thought of it. And it's really interesting when you see, I mean, Brandon LaFell was pretty highly recruited. He played against Penn State when he was at LSU. But the tight end from Illinois is like a 2- or 3-star guy. And he played against Penn State. I mean, Jordan Hill was a 2, I think. 2 or 3 when he came here. It's like, you know, and right away you could see the second you saw him play in a scrimmage, I looked around and said, this guy's going to play. And Jordan Hill played as a true freshman. You could see right away, boom, like,
Okay. But the average star rating of the Patriots and the Seahawks, 2.3. You know, you have to remember, a lot, some of these guys are small college guys that end up making the NFL. You know, they'll take talent from anywhere. They're not, you know, they are not just recruiting the SEC. They are not just drafting the SEC and drafting the Big Ten and drafting the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac 12. Whomever makes the team makes the team. I mean, Gary Gilliam was not a highly rated guy, and Penn State was able to get him out of Milton Hershey School. And he was the defensive end when he came here.
How much
now, Russell
of...
Russell, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, how much of recruiting is finding the five-star and how much of it is finding the three or four that becomes a five?
Oh, that's all a guess. You got to look and see, you know, part of it is what kind of positional fit do you have? You're trying to do positional fits, too. You don't go out, hey, look, I got like 10 five-star guys. Yes, they're all corners. Okay, now what have I done for my football team? Okay, now what I got to do next year? Well, I got to find some linemen. I got to find some. And I mean, part of how a recruiting class comes out is, you know, do you have a quarterback in it? Do you have a, you know, a big time quarterback in it? Do you have a big time running back in it? You know, that's part of where you finish in your recruiting rankings. If you are overstocked at both positions, and you have needs elsewhere, it's going to change. Penn State, for example, next year might only have, I don't know, they could have as few as 14 or 15 available scholarships next year. You know, you have some years where you don't have as many to give out. Just, you know, how you make it count. I mean, the Christian Hackenberg class was 11. Well, Hackenberg's in that class, and Adam Brenneman's in that class, and I mean, that group, I mean, you know, that's a good class. I mean, you know, overall, it's a good class. They're making it count, but it's not going to finish high in the rankings. They only had 11 guys in it. That's part of it. You're not going to rack up points in your star system that's going to rank you high because you only have 11 guys to give you points as opposed to getting 25 of them. But I found that interesting. And again, that's because, like, Julian Edelman's a good example. How many stars do you think he would be? I mean, Doug Baldwin. How many stars do you think he is? Who the heck's the backup to Lynch? He plays a lot. Tulip. Okay? Same thing. What about Vereen, the running back for the Patriots? How many stars do you think he was? But in what they need to do, outstanding. Because they fill needs. Back in an hour with Patrick Chambers. Penn State beat Minnesota last night. I'll tell you, great coaching move last night, how they beat the zone by using DJ Newbill at the heart of it at the foul line. Last guy you would expect there, and Minnesota had to abandon it because the strategy was that good. They used him as a facilitator in the first half, and Minnesota had to get out of it. We'll talk about that in an hour. Tomorrow, Dick Girardi, Wayne Larrabee, Pete Jensen.